we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is AFA at the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to AFA at the Core here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Walker Wildman. Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Core here on the American Family Radio Network. AFR.net is our website. AFR.net is our website. You can also download our mobile app. I got to meet a couple listeners yesterday, actually, at a fall festival. A couple Core listeners, they also listen to other shows on the network. The one thing I ask them is, do you have the app? And they all had the American Family Radio app, so you should too. You can go to your local app store on your mobile device, click in or type in American Family Radio, or you can type in AFR, and you should be able to download the American Family Radio app. It takes you about 2 minutes, and then you can listen to AFR at your convenience. Whenever you would like to listen to American Family Radio, you can do that by downloading the app. We have another exciting announcement today. This is our first day launching the AFA streaming platform. So that platform's up. It's live. It's ready to go, ready for you to visit. You can simply go to streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net to create an account there. Create a free account, or you can create a monthly account where you donate a gift of any amount once a month and you have access to all of the content. So a free account, you have access to limited content. If you donate monthly, whether it be $5 or $100 a month, you can get access to all of the content there on the platform. So streaming.afa.net is the URL. And later, if you forget that URL, and you just want to find out more, there's also a banner on our homepage, afa.net, with a link to the platform as well. So you can either go to afa.net and click through there on the homepage, or you can go directly to the site, streaming.afa.net, and create an account. And after you create an account, guess what? You can watch AFA at the Core. We're going to upload the show each weekday here on the network. We're going to upload the video. So later this evening, whenever you would like, you can go back and watch AFA at the Core. Also, the Hamilton Corner will be up there as well. And as the weeks go on, we're going to continue to add shows. So we'll be adding shows like Airing the Addisons, Today's Issues, Exploring the Word. If we can get them on video, that's a topic for another day. But any show that is offering video now, we'll be uploading those to the platform here in the coming weeks, to the streaming platform. So go to streaming.afa.net and create an account and watch all the content you want to watch. It's all right there on AFA Streaming, and we control it. We're not having to rely on YouTube and Facebook. We control the video. Our scripture for the week is out of the book of Proverbs. We've got a couple verses left in Proverbs to wrap up chapter 3, that is. We've been in Proverbs for at least a month, maybe 2 months. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31 and 32. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. So do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. So we don't need to try to be like those who are an abomination to the Lord. We need to seek his holiness. Jumping right into the news of the week, we're going to have some special guests next segment, and then the next segment, we're going to have on Rob Chambers, Vice President of Policy and Legislative Affairs here at American Family Association, also a Vice President at AFA Action, our governmental affairs affiliate. So we're going to have him on next segment to talk about the case for a religious exemption. This has been longstanding legal precedent in America. for religious exemptions to be given, to be granted, for when you're talking about mandates, you're talking about shots and vaccines. So we're going to talk about that next segment. And then in the last segment, we'll have on Monica Cole with 1 Million Moms. A story I wanted to make sure I got to today is one I came across out of Poland. This is out of the Sun publication, the-sun.com. This is, I believe, a UK outfit, the news outlet that is. But here's the headline. MMA, mixed martial arts, that stands for, MMA fans disgusted as female fighters battered into stoppage by man during intergender show in Poland. You heard me right. A man and a woman were fighting each other in a cage doing mixed martial arts in Poland. Somebody had the bright idea to let a man go up against a woman in this MMA fight. And here's how the story goes, reading directly from this article in the Sun, S-U-N. MMA fans were left disgusted after seeing a female fighter battered by a male opponent during an intergender fight in Poland. One viewer described the scene as, quote, horrific, as the ref was forced to stop the bout. It goes on to say that Piotrek Mojboy, what a name, pinned Yula Sigax and started pummeling her with punches. But they were not enough to defend her against her opponent. In the video, the pair can be seen trading fairly tame blows before Mojboy lands a couple of solid blows against the female in her face, and he ends up taking her out, beating her relentlessly. So this is a little glimpse. This is not a little glimpse. This is a glimpse, folks, into progressive America. Yeah, this is in Poland. But these the left-wing radicals in America, they've been trying to get dudes up in women's sports for years now. They've said it's a great idea. If you're a male, you're a guy, you're a dude, the left has been pushing for the dudes to put on dresses, to put on wigs, and try to act like they're a girl, and then compete against real girls. That's what they've been trying to do for years, all in the name of quote-unquote equality, as they take out the girls, by the way, and steal their scholarships and steal their state championships. But that's equal, right? So they tried this intergender fight in Poland, and all the fans were just flabbergasted. They were just shocked. How dare we allow this man to beat up on this woman in a cage? Who thought this was a great idea? Well, they all paid to go see the show. So maybe we should reconsider allowing men to compete against women in sports. Maybe we should reconsider that because God created us differently. How about that? God created us male and female. Biologically, scientifically, we are built different. Male and female are built differently. Men are stronger than women. They have better upper body strength, more upper body strength. Their lungs are bigger, and the list goes on. All right? So whoever had the idea to let a dude beat up on a girl at an MMA fight, it was a horrible idea. So maybe the next time the lefties decide to put our daughters in a cage with a dude, they should probably think twice before they do that. And you know, this lady, she should have thought twice too, because she signed up for this as well. So the responsibility spreads across many individuals here who chose to put the male and female in a cage to fight together. So, but just a little glimpse of reality. You know, I can sit here and tell you all day long on the radio that God created male and female differently. All right, but you can say, well, that's just rhetoric. You know, that's just he's just reading from the Bible. But you put them in a cage together to batter each other, and it doesn't turn out well. And so God's word, God's design, and science all come together in a real life display of how men and women are created differently. Let's see. Another story I wanted to bring up is this story out of, This is a national poll done by NBC. I'm going to play a clip here. This is Chuck Todd yesterday morning presenting this NBC national poll of how President Biden and the Democrats are doing compared to Republicans across the country, overall sentiment about how things are going. Let's listen to this clip. This is clip four, Chuck Todd on the NBC poll.
We have a brand new NBC News poll out this morning that's filled with some scary news for the Democrats. The overarching message, Americans have lost their confidence in President Biden and their optimism for the country. At least they have right now. Just 22% of adults say we're headed in the right direction. A shocking 71% say we're on the wrong track. And that includes a near majority of Democrats who are saying that. President Biden's approval rating stands at a dismal 42% versus 54% who disapprove. Believe it or not, just 2 months ago, Mr. Biden was in positive territory, 49% approving, 48% disapproving. So what's pulling down the president's numbers? Well, look at this set of numbers. Just 37% say he has the ability right now to handle a crisis versus nearly a majority who say he does not. 37% also say he's competent and effective as president. 50% disagree with that description. What's more, Republicans, believe it or not, have double-digit leads in dealing with border security, inflation, crime, national security, the economy, and shockingly, on getting things done. Democrats hold generally smaller double-digit leads on dealing with climate change, the coronavirus, education, and abortion. And that's really it right now. It's not clear yet whether any deal struck by Democrats on the social spending and infrastructure bills will nudge Mr. Biden's numbers back into positive territory, or whether the damage to his reputation is more of a scar than a bruise.
Well, there you have it. That is just a very somber report on behalf of, that's an NBC report. I mean, these are the media outlets that pay the polling firms to get the results they want out of the polls. We've seen it before. We've seen how unreliable the polls are. So NBC has no drive or no incentive to rig this poll. I mean, these guys fawn over Biden day in and day out. And that's what's also should be factored in here. This should be factored into the margin of error, the MOE. It's like always around 2 or 3%. Well, this should be factored in. What am I talking about? The fact that the media covers for Biden day in and day out, and he's still getting terrible ratings, 42%, 42%. And the entire comparing it to Trump, I read a story today from Axios. Here's the headline. Biden's Trump-like poll numbers, you know, he's just as low as Trump was. Well, Trump was badgered day in and day out. Trump was badgered, given terrible media coverage. Everything was never negative. Everything was doom and gloom. He got impeached like 7 times. Okay, it was like 3 times, but you get the point. But Trump was badgered and badgered and badgered. Orange man bad. He's locking up immigrants in cages. I mean, it was one thing after another. Russia collusion. And Trump was at one point at 42%. Well, Biden, the media covers for him day in and day out. He can do no wrong. He's over here falling asleep at this climate summit, you know, the urgent climate crisis. Well, Biden's over here. I watched the video today. He's literally falling asleep during the speech. But the media, they're not going to cover that. They fawn over Biden day in and day out, and he's still at 42% approval. And like 30% think he's competent to do the job. So it appears that even with the media covering for him, Biden and the Democrats are still hugely unpopular in America. You want to know why? Because average Americans, everyday Americans, are feeling the pain from these terrible policies. AFA at the core, Walker Wildman will be back in just a few minutes. We'll be right back.
AFA at the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Back to AFA at the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to AFA at the Core here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Walker Wildman. Hey, our streaming platform launched today. It launched today. Streaming.afa.net is the URL. Streaming.afa.net is the URL to go there and create an account and begin watching all AFA-produced content there on our streaming platform. We own it. We run it. So no being canceled, no being censored by the big YouTube folks, the big Facebook folks. We got our own platform now. So, you know, eventually with our live streaming option that we're going to work on in 2022, eventually we really won't need them at all. And that's going to be a beautiful day. But right now we got our streaming platform up and running. So you can go there and watch content that we've uploaded to the platform. And we'll have this show, The Core, uploaded to the streaming platform about an hour. Within an hour after the show, we'll have it uploaded there for you to watch this evening, and we'll do that every weekday. Hey, I want to welcome in studio Rob Chambers, Vice President of Policy and Legislative Affairs here at American Family Association, also a Vice President with AFA Action, our governmental affairs affiliate. Rob, welcome to The Core.
Thanks, Walker.
I think I had you on my Exposing Washington show, but this is your first time on The Core.
That's right. Yeah.
Hey, you guys have been working on, well, before we jump to this discussion on religious exemptions and the jab, the shot, as I'm calling it. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about Virginia, because we partner with a group called iVoter Guide.
That's right.
And we partner with them to publish voter guides in states all across the country during election season. Well, give us a little overview of what's going on in Virginia tomorrow.
Yeah, in Virginia, we have some statewide elections going on tomorrow. I'd encourage you to go to afaaction.net if you're in the state of Virginia and get the voter guide there, the AFA Action I Voter Guide, and you can see how these statewide officials are evaluated on a range from very liberal to very conservative.
Nice. Yeah, it's an excellent tool, and you can send it out to your family, friends, print it off, hand it out at church, whatever you want to do.
That's right.
To be an informed voter there in Virginia tomorrow, by the way. So if you're in Virginia, you're listening, go to afaaction.net. Right there on the homepage, there will be an iVoter Guide link that will take you to the AFA Action iVoter Guide. Type in your zip code. Boom. There, your sample ballot and all that information comes out. And if you're in other states, too, across the country, by the way, not just Virginia tomorrow, but there are other states. I can't list them all. It is an off-cycle year, but nonetheless, there are still elections tomorrow across the country. So go to afaaction.net, check that out. Hey, Rob, I wanted to play these clips for you just to set this up.
Sure.
Because this is important. This is coming from Pfizer. This is one of the whistleblowers. She's not a legally defined whistleblower because I don't think she's filed a complaint with the federal government yet, but she's nonetheless a whistleblower of sorts with Pfizer. This is one of their top communications folks. I'm going to play part one and part two separate here, but they're talking. This whistleblower is doing an interview with Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, talking about the fact that the pharmaceutical company, specifically Pfizer here, they know that these shots they're using cell lines from aborted babies, all right? And Pfizer knows that, and they're emailing each other about it. This is clip one.
I work at a pharmaceutical company. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just believe in research and science.
Well, in this database, you came across a chain of emails discussing fetal tissue and the COVID vaccine. Vanessa Gelman, who works in Washington, D.C., is Senior Director of Worldwide Research. A question came up as an inquiry to our MedInfo group. They're asking, quote, did Pfizer make use of a cell line from an aborted fetus?
They want you to leave out the highlighted part, which is the one or more cell lines with an origin that can be traced back to human fetal tissue has been used in laboratory tests associated with the vaccine program.
And here we have your badge. You are an employee of Pfizer?
I work at the McPherson, Kansas plant. It's one of the biggest plants in the operation of Pfizer. We produce some of the most units.
This message from Vanessa Gilman.
From the perspective of corporate affairs, we want to avoid having the information on the fetal cell lines floating out there. We believe that the risk of communicating this right now outweighs any potential benefit that we could see, particularly with general members of the public who may take this information and use it in ways we may not want it out there. We have not received any questions from policymakers or media on this issue in the last few weeks, so we want to avoid raising this if possible.
All right, well, there you have it. That the voice you're hearing with James O'Keefe is Melissa Strickler. She is a Pfizer insider. She's also held the role of manufacturing quality auditor within Pfizer. And then she was citing all their C-suite executives in the email chain about not talking to the public about the cell lines and where they come from. And I have a part two, but it's basically some of the same stuff, Rob. But go ahead and give us your view and give us a little history lesson on the religious exemption and this argument about fetal cells being used to produce jabs.
Well, first of all, I kind of reiterate what the whistleblower has already said, that there is that many people have a resistance or opposition to a vaccine that's either developed or tested using aborted baby parts. And so, as I understand, not only from the whistleblower, but other resources, that not only Pfizer, but also Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, all three of these so-called vaccinations are either developed or tested using aborted baby parts. Mm. So that's what she's blowing the whistle on there. And it's that basis that many people across the country, private employees and government employees, members of the military, are opposing the mandated vaccine brought forth by President Biden, and so they are opposing it on that basis, on a religious reason.
Yeah, and I know you look at the religious exemption forms and paperwork across the country. And by the way, 40 plus states, Rob, have religious exemptions in place, if not more than that.
Yeah, many states across the country have what's called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. We have it here in Mississippi. There's states across the country that have these same types of laws in place. There's also a federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And so what that means is, listeners, is that the federal government cannot violate your religious rights unless they have a compelling interest to do so. And if they do that, then they must provide the least restrictive means possible to violate your religious liberty. So an example would be, I don't want to be forced to take the vaccine because for the stated reasons already about aborted baby parts. So therefore, I want to be exempt from this vaccination. Mm-hmm. Well, although the company may or government could say they have a compelling interest to mandate that, a least restrictive means possible might mean that, are there other things that the government or an employer could do? Could it be wear a mask? Could it be work remotely? So those would be some other things that would be in consideration in lieu of getting forced to take a vaccine.
Yeah, you know, this, by the way, least restrictive means, that standard, that legal precedent. Mm-hmm. Right now, folks, by the way, the government also has to have, as Rob said, a compelling interest, all right? These shots, our government has admitted that they don't work, all right? So all of this religious exemption argument, all of the mandate argument is all built on a premise that really hasn't been proven, by the way. Mm-hmm. And the premise is that these shots work, okay? So if the government is telling us the shots don't work, meaning the CDC director and others have all said, even if you get the shot, you can get COVID and you can spread COVID. And we're seeing that now with the White House press secretary, double vaccinated. She got COVID and she can mm-hmm. spread COVID. All right. So that's the efficacy side of it. But Rob, in order to have a compelling interest, first off, these shots got to work, and they haven't proven that yet.
They don't work. Even the FDA went in and kind of tinkered with their definition of vaccine to change it from preventing an infection to basically to be somewhat therapeutic, kind of like taking an aspirin
or vitamins.
Yeah.
I mean they changed the historical definition to
That's
your
right.
point. A vaccine is something that induces an antibody response to where you don't get an illness down the road, all right? Mm-hmm. That's how polio, smallpox, and all these other vaccines, the real vaccines, actually work. So good point on that, Rob. Across the country, we're seeing I know the Supreme Court has touched this or really refused to touch this at least on two occasions. I think we had the New York state medical workers that were suing, and then we had a similar situation with Maine appealing to the Supreme Court. Do you think that this has truly been settled at the Supreme Court, or do you think that's to be determined?
I think it's to be determined. When you go back, I forgot what the year was, 18-something. I think it was in the state of Virginia. There was a Supreme Court case that was brought before the Supreme Court, and basically the Supreme Court said that that it would not be a violation of the federal constitution for a state to mandate a vaccine, for example. So what hasn't been tested before the Supreme Court is religious exemptions, for example. So I don't think we have seen really the full test yet. I do remember Justice Amy Barrett, she did not hear a religious liberty related issue. I think it was from the state of Michigan, and it was because she didn't hear it because that state already had religious exemptions for the issue that was brought before the court. Mm. So I think it's to be determined.
Yeah. Yeah. And we really should be pushing for state legislatures and governors to partner together and push laws that fight back against this stuff. All right. That needs to be done here because we don't need, we for sure don't need government mandating it on government employees and on the private sector. But there's also a case to be made that even private companies don't need to be forcing this on their own employees. Mm-hmm. With this thing's still in clinical trials, folks. This thing is far from studied, far from settled on the safety and efficacy of it. Mm-hmm. And I would just say this, if companies want to go down this path of mandating it, then they should be legally liable for adverse reactions. They should be legally liable. Maybe that's the solution. Maybe what we do in state legislatures across the country, Rob, is we pass bills that tell companies, if you're going to force this on your employees, then you're going to pay the bills. You're going to pay the hospital bill if one of your employees has a blood clot or has myocarditis or any other kind of adverse reaction to this shot.
Well, I like that point, but here's what's happening. What we're seeing now is that in some private employers are saying, no, we're not going to require you to get the jab, but we're going to turn around and we're going to assess you a monthly amount to ensure the corporation that we don't suffer any kind of financial liability. So, for example, if you don't want to get the jab for a particular private corporation, then you pay maybe $200 a month to insure the corporation if they were to get sued.
This is insane. Also, I've been seeing where they're granting the religious exemption, but then they're firing the employee the next day. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, I tell you what, this you know, in moving from the mandate to now into an area of religious exemption, you know, that's one thing that we see in the military. I mean, there's as many as 12,000 members of the Air Force that have refused to get the shot. And so the deadline, I believe, is tomorrow. And so they could either face who knows what the discipline's going to be. There's also at least 40 Navy SEALs that have expressed their opposition to the shot.
Those are just the ones that would sign on to a lawsuit.
Right.
Who knows how many others holding out.
Yeah, to your point, these 40 are just people that have signed on to a lawsuit represented by First Liberty. Mm-hmm. And so these 40 Navy SEALs represent people who have been on over 100 deployments and have served over 350 years in combined years of service.
Wow.
And so these are people, I mean, these are the Navy SEALs. We see about them on TV.
Yeah,
I mean,
they take the bullets for our country.
Yeah, I don't want to minimize any other, you know, military personnel, but right. I'm just, you know, trying to put a face on this.
They're the best of the best.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, they're the tip of the spear.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Rob, you've worked on a state-specific, on a Mississippi-specific, rather, religious exemption, kind of a white paper, basically outlining how you can apply for a religious exemption in the state of Mississippi. That's where we're headquartered. But a lot of this language and legal jargon can be applied to other states as well. But more specifically, if you live in, tell our Mississippi audience, we got a lot of radio stations in Mississippi. Tell our Mississippi audience where they can go, kind of what you've done there in partnership with others, where they can go to read more about this.
Yeah, I would encourage you to go to afaaction.net. It's there on the main page, on the homepage, afaaction.net. If you live in the state of Mississippi, or even if you live in a state that has a Religious Freedom Restoration Act, it's very possible that it could generally apply to you as well. Mm-hmm. But what we wanted to do here in our home state, we wanted to and leadership wanted to provide people here in the state of Mississippi a rationale, a resource to help them understand if they are mandated to get a vaccine and if they so wanted to choose to get a religious exemption and not be forced to take the vaccine, then we wanted to put together a package or a guidelines on how they could request that religious liberty exemption.
Yeah.
And so what we've done is that white paper you mentioned, you go to afaaction.net, so they're on the homepage, download it, read it, and you can learn how you can get a religious exemption, or how, first of all, to see how you qualify for a religious liberty exemption,
right,
and then how to go about doing it.
Yeah, folks, all I got to say, one thing I want to say to you guys out there all across the country, not just Mississippi, is do not quit your job. If you are being forced to get the jab and you don't want to, for religious reasons or for other reasons, medical reasons, by the way, there are many doctors who are telling their patients, don't get this, all right? So that should be considered as well. But if you don't want to and your employer is pressuring you to, do not quit. Make them fire you and make them document that they're firing you and they're denying your religious exemptions. So do not quit. And more specifically, in the state of Mississippi, there are a lot of state employees, by the way. This thing, this whole federal, and that's an entire other topic, but the Biden executive order on federal contractors, folks, that thing is ever expansive.
Yes.
That covers all any state institution that takes a penny from the federal
that's
government.
Right.
So do not quit your job. If you believe and you have a religious exemption, a religious reason to not get the jab, file for a religious exemption and make them fire you. All right. That's how we're going to get in court. That's how we're going to win this thing. All right, Rob. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Walker.
All right. AFA at the Core. I'm Walker Wildman. The website there, by the way, is afaaction.net. If you're a Mississippi resident, a worker here in Mississippi, and you're being pressured, the form and the document there is right there on the homepage. We'll also link to it on my podcast page at afr.net. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
AFA at the Core podcast are available at afr.net. Back to AFA at the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to AFA at the Core here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Walker Wildman. Glad to be with you today on the show. As I mentioned, the last two segments, folks, we got our streaming platform up and running. You can go there and create a free account today, right now, as we speak. You can go to streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net, and create a free account. If you want to create a paid account or you want to become a great commission partner, which is a monthly donor to American Family Association, then you get access to even more content there. But we also have a free account option there on the streaming platform. So streaming.afa.net. We need to get some more folks signed up today. Streaming.afa.net, and we'll be talking about it more on the American Family Radio Network throughout the week. I'll be on a couple other shows to talk about this exciting announcement. So streaming.afa.net. Go there, create a free account there on the platform, and begin watching all kind of content there on our brand new streaming platform. By the way, I was this weekend, of course, I've been testing this product for the last several weeks, and this weekend I was watching Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent with my kids. I was projecting the video AFA streaming platform onto my TV, my smart TV at home, and my boys were watching Ryan DeFrady's there at my home. So it's great for kids, by the way. All of our content is family-friendly. The only content, pretty much the only thing that we have any kind of parental guidance about is our In His Image documentary. And that's just because we get into human sexuality and we go deep biblically, scripturally, and scientifically into that topic. So that's pretty much the only piece of content there that we have any type of parental guidance about. The rest of it is all family friendly. It's all really family friendly. The In His Image, I mean, that's a great conversation starter for your teenager or for your young adult. There in your house. So go to streaming.afa.net and check out that platform. Create a free account there at streaming.afa.net. I came across this story out of Rome. You know, President Biden went over and met with the Pope, Pope Francis. And, you know, this is the Pope and the Vatican here, and in extension, the Catholic Church. This is a major issue, all right? Because you have the Roman Catholic Church, you have the Catholic Church all around the world being led by the Pope. And they're supposed to be believing in and lining up and living out God's word. But here we have President Biden, hardcore baby-killing advocate. Oh, Walker, that sure is tough language. Oh, but that's a reality. Why water it down, folks? Why water it down? That's what's happening here. If we go back to slavery, we don't go, well, you know, it was just another form of capitalism. You know, it was just find a way to dance around it. No, it was slavery. It was human trafficking. And the same thing here. We're not going to water it down. They're killing babies, all right? And the whole Democrat Party is fully on board with baby killing, starting with their leader, President Biden. And many in their party are now talking about killing babies up to 9 months. And the current governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, he was even recorded talking about possibly just killing a baby outside of the womb as well. You know, just lay them on the table and have a discussion about whether we want to keep them or not. That's basically, in essence, what he said. Okay, so baby killing is what it is. So that's what we're going to call it. It's baby killing. And that's what the Democrat Party is in favor of. And if I were any Republican, boy, would I latch onto that, because that's the truth. All right. And the media, they're going to try to censor it. They're going to try to water it down. And they're going to say pro-choice, pro-choice, pro-choice to do what? Pro-choice to do what? That's the question I would ask. But nonetheless, back to this meeting at the Vatican in Rome. Here is what apparently, according to the Vatican press release, here is what the Pope talked with President Biden about. In its press briefing, the Vatican states that the Pope and the President, quote, focused on the joint commitment to the protection and care of the planet, the healthcare situation and the fight against the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as the theme of refugees and assistance to migrants. Okay, so let me get this right. Let me get this right. And by the way, they later go on to say that, well, they could have talked about abortion, but they didn't really say that they did, so maybe they did and maybe they didn't. We don't really know, so we can't talk about it. No, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. All right, so let me get this right. In the U.S., since Roe v. Wade, we've killed, as a country, about 70 million babies, just below that, but let's just round it off. 70 million babies is how many babies have died, have been murdered, at the hands of quote-unquote doctors in America since 1970s. And the Catholic Church is supposed to be pro-life. They're supposed to be pro-life, but here we have a president who is in favor of killing babies. Let me get this right. But he says he's a Catholic and he should be able to take communion, and he travels and meets with the Pope at the Vatican, and they don't talk about baby killing. Now, how is this supposed to work, okay? So this is like me. Let's put me in the Oval Office for about 4 years. Let's just imagine, for the sake of argument, that Walker Wildman gets elected president, and I claim that I am an evangelical Christian. As a matter of fact, I'm a Southern Baptist. Let's just, for the sake of argument, let's just say that, all right? And then let's just say that I, as a president, like Jimmy Carter, as a Southern Baptist, evangelical Christian president of the United States, I go to the Southern Baptist Convention and I meet with the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, but all of my policies are against the teachings of the Christian church. They're against the teachings and the bylaws and the statement of faith of the Southern Baptist Convention. But here I am, and I'm claiming that I'm a Southern Baptist, I'm an evangelical Christian, and I go to the Southern Baptist Convention, and we don't talk about any of the issues that I am living out that are contrary to the Christian faith. How can you do that? I just don't know how you can do that. So my question is, what does it mean to be a Catholic now? All right? What does it mean to be a Catholic? Can you just raise your hand and go, yep, sign me up, I'm a Catholic? I go to Mass every week, but everything I do outside of that one day a week is completely contrary to God's word. Maybe we need, I'm not a Catholic, maybe we need people in the pews that are believers, that are Catholics, that believe in God's word and they live it out and they're being salt and light. Maybe we need them to stand up and tell the Pope and tell President Biden that they're not Catholic. You're not obeying the Catholic Church's teachings. As simple as that. This thing is not complicated. This isn't rocket science. We don't need PhDs. We don't need seminary professors, all right? We're talking about fundamental tenets of the Christian faith that President Biden is disobeying openly and publicly. Willingly, openly, publicly disobeying the fundamental teachings of the Catholic Church, which, by the way, the vast majority of the teachings of the Catholic Church are built on Scripture. They're built on God's Word, all right? So this is not subjective or up in the air or up for debate, but this is absolutely astonishing. So President Biden goes and visits the Pope, and they don't even touch abortion that we know of. If they did, they didn't announce it. They don't even talk about abortion. Shame on the Pope. I mean, this is absolutely out of hand, and I know there are people, rank and file, if you will, people, Catholics, everyday Roman Catholics, that are not, they're not good with this. They don't like it. They don't like that people, especially these big-name politicians, they all claim to be Catholic. They raise their hands that they're Catholic, but they don't follow one single teaching of the Catholic Church. Maybe somebody can lecture me and get me right on this issue, but it is absolutely, absolutely astonishing, the fact that President Biden claims to be a Catholic in good standing, but he didn't believe a single thing. Like, I really can't think of one thing that he believes in that the Catholics believe in. Can someone, like, email me and let me know one thing that President Biden believes in that the Catholic Church believes in? And don't give me this migrant, refugee, you know, care for the needy garbage, all right? Because we want to care for the needy. How about our veterans who fought and bled for our country, and they're waiting 3 weeks to get treatment at the VA? Let's talk about the needy there. No, we can't talk about that. We got to talk about the migrants crossing the border illegally. That's what we got to focus our attention on, all right? It's all about the refugees. Who cares about the Americans in Chicago, the little kids in Chicago getting shot while they're sleeping in their bed? Why don't we talk about that? Oh, no, we can't talk about that. That's not a good political talking point for the Democrats. All right, I digress. We're going to move on. Monica Cole's in studio with us. Hey, Monica.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Monica is director of 1 Million Moms, one of our divisions here at American Family Association. Monica, tell our listeners who aren't familiar with 1 Million Moms, most of them are, how you got your start about my grandfather needing someone to lead 1 Million Moms.
Absolutely. Your grandfather, Paw, I believe, mm-hmm. is what y'all refer to him as. But Brother Don, he had been looking for someone to lead 1 Million Moms. And he said that he was not fit for the job as far as just because of being a man. And mm-hmm. he said moms can relate to other moms. And, of course, he's fit for any job. But he was looking for another mother to lead our moms. And it was a God thing. I lived already in Tupelo, and I wanted to come work for the ministry. And he said, I believe I have just the exact role for you. And he hired me as director of 1 Million Moms because I expressed my passion for children and as a mother myself, what they're being exposed to as far as America's children in the media, on television programs and commercials, et cetera. And so he just wanted me to come and lead the other moms.
So now, what did basically you and my grandfather start 1 Million Moms, or was it already existing when you came in?
It was already existing.
Okay.
He had founded it, and he was leading it.
Gotcha. And but he needed a mom to lead it.
That's what he said. He was already leading it, and he would send out emails, but then he sent out an email after he had hired me saying that he found a mother that would take the role to lead 1 Million Moms because women can relate to other women, especially I was on the phone earlier talking with a mom that some things that you see, it's almost embarrassing to even say what
to
you
talk about.
Saw, right?
Right, yeah.
And he said women are going to feel more comfortable discussing things with another woman,
mm-hmm.
and that's true.
Sure.
And so...
Yeah, it's 1 million moms. So, I mean, if you want to be consistent, we need a mom leading
exactly.
1 million moms.
But he was waiting, he said, for the Lord to bring the right person. And just, it was, like I said, it was a God thing how it worked out. And he had already founded it. So it was just finding someone to lead the group of moms here.
Yeah, so tell our, so how long have you been leading 1 million moms?
Almost 13 years.
Okay, so tell our audience, we got about 2 minutes left. Tell our audience some of the things that you take action on, because that's what they want to know. If we got moms out there listening and they're not signed up yet, they're not getting your emails, tell them a little bit about the things you bring to their attention.
Yes, we bring almost anything that you can think of to the parents' attention, so therefore they'll have the information. They can not only have it as a resource to take action, let their voice be heard, but it's also like a warning for them to have that information, to decide if that's something they want their children to be exposed to or seen, whether it's movies that are out with controversial agendas that are being pushed on children, television programs, like even Blue's Clues this summer. You can go to 1millionmoms.com to see more in more detail of what inappropriate content that they're being exposed to, commercials. There's a lot of commercials that are pushing the LGBTQ agenda. There's several on our website right now that we're working on with online petitions. And
so you catch wind of this stuff.
Yes.
Bring it to the attentions of your subscribers so they can watch out, make sure their kids don't experience this.
Exactly, because sometimes it just happens so quickly, and so I let them know this is how the commercial starts and this is how it plays out. And they can have that information also to sign online petitions that then the companies or the television networks that we are not pleased with and offended as conservative parents and Christians, what they are, they know what they're doing. It's controversial topics.
Yes.
We just ask that they remain neutral.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sell products. You know, if you're a hardware store, then advertise your tools.
Exactly.
And not, don't get into this garbage where we're having to cover our kids' eyes up when we're watching nightly television.
Or billboards. That was one we did have swapped out in about 3 days.
Yeah.
Because you cannot, I mean, if you're in the front seat driving, you can't cover up your children's eyes if they're in the back seat.
Right.
You drive by this billboard. So, like I said, pretty much anything falls under that umbrella that we don't want our children being exposed to.
All right. Thanks, Monica, for coming
on.
Thank you. All right. Monica Cole, director of 1 Million Moms. 1millionmoms.com is the website. Go there, check it out. Sign up for her alerts. And we'll keep you updated of what these companies are doing out there, trying to pervert the eyes and the hearts and the minds of our children, and try to keep these companies in check. And all they need to do is, if you do rental cars, then just advertise how great your rental cars are, all right? These companies have gone down this path of basically being an arm of the Democrat Party. They should count it as like campaign contributions. They're a political arm of the Democrat Party, and they push this garbage in front of our eyes day in and day out, and we should fight back. AFA at the Core, I'm Walker Wildman. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.